Come on, give me a little bit more. A little bit more. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I know I've been changed. Sign my name. I gotta do that again. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. Children alive. Know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, the angels in heaven done signed my name. Listen, you need to follow me down to the Jordan stream. Angels in heaven done signed my name. I said, I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. Children, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name. Listen to me. I went to the water and the water was cold. The angels in heaven done signed my name. I want you to know, church, that it chilled my body, but not my soul. The angels in heaven done signed. Come on, if you've been changed, help me say, I know I've been changed. Let's do it again. Children, I know I've been changed. Why? The angels in heaven done signed. Let's do that one more time. I said, I know I've been changed. Come on, church, if you've been changed. I know I've been changed. Children, I know I've been changed. Why? The angels in heaven done signed. I said, why? 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 I said, why? The angels in heaven done signed. One more time. I want to know why. The angels in heaven done sign my name.
Song was a cold song. I know I've been changed. Many of us grew up on that. A us old people. I know some of the young people don't know what we talk about, but older people, we understand that's what our people used to sing. They come into the church, they said, I don't know if you know this or not, but they say that the hymnodes, you know what a hymnody is, right? It's a collection of hymns. And the classical hymnodes that you hear were mostly written by men and women who had great education and who knew the Bible well. And so a lot of your old hymns, or classical hymns, that we recognize today come from people who are well educated and knew their Bible well. But one writer wrote that there's no other songs written that can compare with what the spiritual songs that were sang by the slaves. And many of those songs, they never knew who wrote those songs. But someone later on, like Dorsey, would put those songs together, put them to music. No one knows who the authors were of some of these songs. But this man said, out of all the classic hymnals, nothing can be compared to the black spiritual songs except for the Book of Psalms and King David. So we're not getting credit for those things. We don't know. We don't know who wrote a lot of those songs. But a lot of those songs were born out of trial. And the Holy Ghost was up on them. And they were actually praying out what they believed, what they were feeling. And the Spirit came up on them. And they did those things. And people got them later on and wrote those songs. And now we don't hardly sing them anymore because maybe make some of us feel we're back in slavery or we're still in those times where we've been mistreated. But I'm talking about some of the churches, not all the churches. All right. Amen, amen. But I remember coming into the church and nobody, they didn't have a praise team.
Right.
Everybody just started singing. You know? Yeah. Just started singing to the glory of God. That's because when we came out of slavery, many of us recognized that it was God that brought us out. And I'm still today thanking God for what he's done. The slavery he brought me out of. Amen. I know all of you should just raise your hand and testify that he brought you out of slavery too. Amen. Amen. He's made you a new creature. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to our third night and our last night. We have one more day, and then we're gone. But we've come here to lift up Jesus. And I tell you no lie. I tell you no lie. People are not talking about the Savior whom we're all looking to come back again. A lot of people say, I'm an Adventist. I'm looking for him. But they have not even met him. They are following him like, I used an analogy before, but they're following him like we follow the basketball team. And my son, my two boys, one's an Alabama fan and the other was a Notre Dame fan. Because one of my boys was born in South Bend and the other was born in Alabama, at Oakwood, when I was at Oakwood. And so when they had that national championship, they were going back and forth. My team, you know, Alabama's my team, and Notre Dame is my team. And I said, listen, man, I said, how did this get to be your team? Have you ever met the coach? Have you ever been to dinner with any of the players? Have you ever even been to a game? How can you claim that they are your team? Well, the reason why is because we're doing that with Jesus today. We're claiming him without knowing him. We're claiming him without following his commandments. We're saying that we love the Lord and we have not met him. We're living off the cliche, church cliches today. And you go to different churches, and they have certain cliches that they will use in those churches. And the people are shocked at the cliches. You come to the Adventist church, we've got cliches. We'll use, we'll start saying, everybody, yeah, amen, amen, because they're used to hearing that over and over again. But when you start getting into the Word, people don't read the Word a whole lot. You start getting into the Word, they're listening because I never saw that before. I don't even know that's real, you know, because the devil has set it up in false Christianity today to have us to follow the ideal of Jesus Christ, but not know him. That's the big warning in the last days that God has given to the world, that you may know him, that you may know him. Tonight, Christ lives in you. And I started Wednesday night to explain to you that healing, the wonderful healing of God. And I hope you understand that there is no healing unless you have Jesus. I hope you understand you can go to the doctor and he can give you some medicine, and you can be healed of whatever infirmity that you have. But there's no real healing unless you have Jesus. Because when he comes in, he heals your mind. He heals your body. Even though these bodies may break down, he still is in there. Amen. And because he's in there, he'll heal your spirit. So he'll change your mortal life to immortal life. Hallelujah. So when Christ comes in, you and the Holy Ghost is living in you, what happens is you now become, you have eternal life in you now. Even though these bodies are going to fall away one day, but you have eternal life in you now. Why? Because eternal life is in you. Amen. He's God, and he's God all by himself. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, my plea to everybody, God is walking from heart to heart. The Holy Ghost is moving from door to door. And he's asking people to get ready because Jesus is about to come. And he said, you can't be saved by group therapy. You have to be saved individually by Jesus Christ. Amen. You have to be delivered. Amen. From sin. And he's already made the provisions for us. Everything is ready. All we have to do is accept. Amen. If mama don't go, I gotta go. Daddy don't go, I gotta go. Wife don't wanna go, I gotta go. Amen. Once I found Jesus, I gotta go. Amen. So that's what I'm bringing out back to you. We're bringing life. You get revival by looking at him. You get revival by accepting him. You're changed and reformed by Christ being in you doing the reformation. You don't do reformation, he does reformation. He's the only one who can change. He's the only one who can help us in the times in which we live. And so tonight we go back to the Word of God. Christ lives in you. Back to the Word of God tonight. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to every last one of us in this place tonight. Let everyone hear your voice tonight. Let everyone feel your presence in his place tonight. Let us all go into lockdown mode where no demons can stand to stay in this place. Let all demons leave this room right now. All negativity, let it walk out of this room now, because we're about to have a worship time. We're about to meet with God now. We're about to hear God speak to us tonight. We're asking for you to come in. We're asking for the devil to get out of here. Get out of here, devil, right now. In the name of Jesus. Demons, get out of here. This is God's holy day. And when God's in it, it's holy. We're God's children. And when God is in us, we're holy. There's no room for darkness when God is in us. Come now, Lord, and speak to us tonight in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I keep emphasizing to you about reading. I keep I cannot overemphasize that. Reading the scripture is very important. All scripture is inspired by God. That means that God gave them the thoughts. They did not do any research online or go to theology school, a school of religion. All scripture is inspired by God. That means God gave them the thought. And they wrote it down in their own language, in their own terminology, in their own way. But God gave them the thought. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not word inspired, it's thought inspired. Oh, I wish I could tell you that. I wish you'd understand that. It's not word inspired, it's thought inspired. If it was word inspired, then all of us have to speak Hebrew here to understand what it's saying. Amen? But it's thought inspired. And when the men translated the Bible from Hebrew and from Aramaic and from Latin, when they changed the Bible into English, it was the thoughts that they brought over. And they put it in English language, German language, French language, so people can understand it in their language. All scripture is inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true. To teach us what is true. And to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people, his children, to every good work. It's the word that we need to have in us. You don't have to memorize it, just live it. Amen, amen, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses, beginning at verse 1. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy, urging him in ministry. I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Then he says, preach the word. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Yes. Hallelujah. For the time is coming, and I can say now is, people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. We're in that time now where it's entertainment ministry. We're in that time now where the doctors of the law, the doctors of theology come and they break it down and they make it plain, they make it to us, and we're not reading at all. And we're saying amen. We're saying amen and don't even know why we're saying amen. We said amen because the preacher said, can everybody say amen? Amen. And you turn to your neighbor and say something. You know, I'm not going to get into that. But everybody uses that. They will reject the truth and chase after what? Myths. But you should keep a clear mind, Timothy, in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Start off with those texts tonight because that's the instruction God has given us as preachers. That's what we must do. But today, in this day and age, we want the people to follow us. We want to be like somebody we saw on TV. Or we want to be something other than who we are. And I'm saying, this is not your pastor and any other pastor in the room. But us as pastors, we failed our people. We don't teach them. We don't encourage them to read. We encourage them to study the scriptures for themselves. We want them to come and listen to us as we expound or as we regurgitate, you know, the word to them. That's what we want to do. And the Bible, and the Lord told, he told Timothy, this is going to happen.
Yes.
And we're right here now. In one version it says they would have itching ears. It said they would love to chase after legends. So if somebody you've been watching on TV comes into town, they love to chase after legends. No, I'm not going to say that. But they love to chase after legends. Well, what's happening is God is moving in that sick room. God is moving everywhere, touching people to be saved. Entertainment, nobody in the Bible entertained anyone. Nobody. But today, a lot of entertainment. Didn't he preach? Didn't he throw down? Well, you said the same thing about your boy from Miami, LeBron. Didn't he throw down? Am I right? But what happens? Where does the Spirit of God spend his time today on earth? Where does the Spirit of God spend his time today on earth? Let me go to a favorite text of Michael Ashley and myself. Matthew chapter 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. It was already set up. When God said it was going to be so, it was already done. Am I right? Amen. And as for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we do that? They didn't understand. You know why? When God is in you and you're helping people, you're not trying to calculate on what you're doing. You're not trying to figure out what you're going to do. God is with you. You're in that. You don't even know you're doing it. Amen. The Holy Ghost just moving up on you. You don't know why you're doing it. You don't stop off and say, today I met three people and I gave them three pieces of literature. You don't do that. You just do it naturally. Amen. You don't keep records. He says, or stranger, and you showed me hospitality, or naked, and you gave me clothing. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I'll tell you the truth. This is the truth, honey. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. So where is God today? Where is God today? God is in his children today. They could be homeless. They could be in prison. They could be in the hospitals. God is in them today because God stands at the door of our hearts and God knocks. And if any man let me in, I don't care where you, I don't care if your breath stinks. If any man let me in, I'm coming in. Amen. And what I mean, you know, I'm talking about alcohol or something. I don't care what's going on. God will come in. And he's not afraid to come in. Amen. He has all power in the universe. Am I right? He created you. He knows what sin has done for you. He died for you already. He took all that pain. He took all that stink. He took all of that on Calvary. God did it for you. And so when you go out and you're helping someone, don't try to calculate. Oh, let's get a team together. We're going to go out and feed the homeless. Just go do it. Hallelujah. Just do it. Do you know every church I've ever pastored, we did an outreach and we got blessed every time. When I was at Rainbow, we fed the hungry every week. We went downtown on Skid Row to a place called Hospitality House. I have awards on my wall. from what the hospitality house gave to me for sending a team down there. They went down there and they would feed the homeless. And a lot of the people down there had AIDS and other things in that place, because that was San Francisco. They went down there and they fed them every week. And I remember a man called me. And somebody might know what I'm talking about. A man called me and he says, "Are you going to feed the homeless downtown?" I think he was a guy who had some problems with his orientation. And he said, "You going to feed the homeless?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to feed the homeless." He said, "I was giving some money to one church. I want to give it to your church." You. Ladies yes. and gentlemen, yes. for 4 years, this man gave me $2,000 a month.
Thank you.
Feed the people downtown. And he told me, "I don't want any recognition. I don't want you sending me letters. I don't want you calling me to your church and honoring me." He said, "All I want to know is, will you feed the homeless? Will you feed the gay men down? Will you feed those with AIDS? Will you feed them?" I said, "Yes, sir, we will." Because the people that went out were people who came into Rainbow who been out there on that street. Most of us, ex-gangsters and dope addicts and everything, we knew where to go. We went down there. I remember one night. Oh, I'm telling stories now. I remember one night. It was going to get cold in San Francisco. It was in January. And they said the temperature's going to drop lower than it's ever been. Down in the 20s. That's really cold. Who can drive in a city like that? It was really cold. And I called up this man, and I said, "What we want to do is, on Saturday night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, we want to go down to San Francisco. We want to go to the streets of San Francisco." Hear that movie, Streets of San Francisco? "We want to go to the streets of San Francisco, and we want to give out sleeping bags to everyone who would accept it." He said, "How much money do you need?" $5,000. "You got it." We loaded up. We went to Kmart and Walmart and all the marts, and we got all the sleeping bags we could get. And we went out on the streets about 1:30 in the morning. And we met people sleeping on the grates, sleeping and no place to, you know, no place to rest their heads. And we gave out sleeping bags. Some of them cried. They were so thankful. We fed the hungry and the homeless. And we weren't trying to calculate anything. We didn't report to the conference, "This is how many people we fed." We didn't do that. We just went on. I moved from there. And I can't tell you everything. I'm a man who gets dreams, and I got another dream. When I moved from San Francisco to Seaside, California, to pastor there, I got a dream. And I'm not going to tell you what the dream was about tonight, but this is how it was fulfilled. There was a group there of churches. And Monterey is in Monterey County. So Monterey is they don't want people sleeping on the streets. It hurt tourism. That's a wealthy community. And so it's one lady had an idea, her and her husband, that they would every evening they would pick up the homeless people, keep them off the streets, and take them to a local church. And the church would feed them and house them overnight. And so 26 churches got together in the Seaside community to house those homeless people every night. It was called iHelp. I help emergency lodging program. But anyway, they would go out and pick up these people and bring them in. They had their pallets. 26 churches. We were included. But we were the only church that didn't have church on Sunday. So all the Sunday churches didn't want to have anybody sleeping in their church on Saturday night. So 26 churches took 26 nights, and then they rotated. We took every Saturday night. They came to our church, They did that for 10 years. We had Adventists coming in there off the streets, you know, into drugs, sleeping. We had many, we had people who used to be doctors and lawyers and gone out. We had them coming in. And every Saturday night, I had four teams. And these teams would fix a meal on their Sabbath, on their Saturday night. They would fix a meal, and the people would come every Saturday night, and in our fellowship hall, they would put out their pallets, and they would sleep in there, and they put a TV in there for them, and they had a monitor, someone who would monitor them, and they stayed in touch with the police if anything happened. We had not one incident, and it did not help the church at all. The church never suffered from that at all. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was clothes, you gave me clothes. When I was in prison, you visited me. Oh, hallelujah. You do that because of Christ in you. You don't do it for yourself. You do it because Christ is in you. Now let me get into my sermon tonight. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. Ladies and gentlemen, you are children of the Most High God. Some of you may not have him fully in your life, but he still calls you his child. Because he's anticipating you to come on in one day. Some of you are strayed away from the church and gone away. You're still God's child. Yes. He's calling you back home. He said, come on in. I'm the lover of your soul. I'm the creator of your life. I'm the one who can set you free. He makes this call to all of us. God speaks to us in family language. That he loves us. Amen. Did I ever tell you how much I love you? I just come to say I love you. I honestly do. I don't know you from Jack. But I love you. Because I want to see you. And I want to be there with you. This life is over. And we go home with him. It's not worth living on this earth, going through hell, dying, and ending up in hell's fire. It's not worth it. Take the life that God has given us now and bring us through. So we're citizens. So you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Hallelujah. Together we are his house, built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Hallelujah. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. God lives by his Spirit in you. Do not wait to try to get right before you let God come on in. Let him come in tonight. I don't care if you're sitting here drunk tonight. Let him come in now, tonight. He knows how to take care of business. He knows how to fumigate. He's already paid the price for you. Let him come on in tonight. While you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because the day is fast approaching. But no man will be saved. He's going to close those books one day. Nobody's going to be saved. So if you hear him speaking to you, you stand for him. You give your life to him. I don't care if you drag it. If you drag a pound of crack cocaine on your back hip, come on to Jesus anyway. Amen. Because I love the way he does it. He just takes everything and turns it around and makes it brand new. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you from experience. Amen. Amen. When Christ comes to live in you, your human nature, I'm getting to some rough waters right now. I'm going to get to some rough waters. This is going to be rough here. When Christ comes to live in you, your human nature will fight not to let him in. Because your human nature is hostile against God. It is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be. So you just can't keep the law of God because somebody told you. You've got to have some power. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to me carefully. I wish all of you could just read it right now. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Yes. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Those two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. I'm going to do right. I'm going to try to do right. I'm going to change my life. You're not free to do that because your human nature is going to fight against that. But God sends his Holy Spirit in. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, he fights against that nature. He overpowers that nature. But you have to let him come in. I'm getting hot now. I'm getting to some deep waters right now. Because a lot of us lose our way along the way. We say, I love the Lord, I'm trying to do right, and I find myself doing wrong. But there's something there, there's a war going on there. You got to let God do his work in you. You got to let God process it in you. You got to let God work this thing out in you. You got to let God do that in you. He will do it. Hallelujah. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not obligated to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here we go. This is getting deep. Sexual immorality. The results are very clear. Very, very clear. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Lustful pleasures. Idolatry. Sorcery. Hostility. Quarreling in business meetings, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But we were all like that. We all were like that. Until God came in and turned us around. So don't pretend like you wasn't like that. You were. You were born in sin. And you were shaped by iniquity. You were born that way. So don't come in and pretend like you never had anything. You were. I don't care how nice you are, how clean you might be. Your human nature is the same. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Hallelujah. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passion and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since you are living by the Spirit, now watch this. It's not you that's doing this. He says you crucify and you put your passion on the cross. It's not you that's doing that. It's the Spirit of God in you that's doing that. Since you are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another. Or be jealous of one another. That's it. So don't do that. You can hide under the banner of I'm Dr. So-and-so and I'm Elder this, and you can hide under those banners all you want to. But it'll come out. You'll be sitting, it'll come out. It just leak out of you. You know, oops, I don't want that to happen. You ever seen people who just curse? Oh, I'm sorry, my English. What did you say? My French. Excuse my French. No. That's the way you talk. That's the way you think. Amen. 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 Now we're going to some more deep water here. And this is something that a lot of people argued over. This is deep water. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 7. Excuse me, young lady. Romans chapter 7. Now listen to why he explains this war that's going on inside of you. So the trouble is not with the law. For the law is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. For I'm all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. Lord have mercy. For I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Now watch this. Watch this. When the law comes to you, it helps you to recognize that you are a sinner. That's what the Ten Commandments does. It helps you to recognize you're a sinner. When he comes, you recognize that. And then when you start fighting to try to do that, that means you have consented that what the law has told you is right and it is good. That's what he's talking about there. So I'm not the one, he says, so I'm not the one doing wrong. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It is sin living in me that does it. You don't understand that. You join churches, you don't understand that you got a sinful nature. And that sinful nature fights against God. And you have things you need to overcome. Things you need that you've been going through in your life. You old habits, you need to overcome those things. God is working with you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. He said, I know that nothing lives in me. That I know nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me because I really want to do what's right. Yeah. Yeah. Or I told you it's deep waters here. Yeah. Now, this is one of the best Bible verses in all of the Bible. It shows you how you get victory. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that's at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Some of you are going through, and some of us have, not you, but all of us have gone through some terrible times. You say, Lord, why can't I overcome this? Lord, why can't I be better? Why do these thoughts keep coming across my mind? You say, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in what? Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to get Jesus a hand. Y'all give Jesus a hand clap on that. Amen. 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 That's our hero. In my mind, so you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. I really want to do what's right, but my sinful nature keeps tugging at me. How do I conquer all? Let's go to Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. Ladies and gentlemen, it's done by him and him alone. Romans 8, 1 through 11. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Sure, you may fall short. The Bible said a just man falleth seven times. but because God is in it. Amen. David did some hideous things, but because God was in it. Solomon did some terrible things. I don't know if you would even invite Paul to be an elder in your church. Did some terrible things, but God was in him. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the body we sinners have. And in that body, Christ declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Hallelujah. He died for us. And because he died, amen, he sent back the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. And it gives us power to overcome sin. Power to become new creatures. Power to have a new mind. The Bible says he did this so that the just requirements of the law will be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. I told you when I started off, I'm going to talk about God healing us in the mind, in the body, and in the spirit. Tonight is the spirit. This is how the spirit of God in us heals us from sin. This is how he does it. So those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting our sinful nature control our minds lead to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. Somebody ought to claim that I've got the Holy Ghost in me. You know, you ought to claim that. Amen. You may not be what you ought to be, but you ought to claim that. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin. Remember last night I talked about those bodies, disposable bodies? It's going to die because of what sin has done. But the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Tonight, Christ in you. Just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. You have to know that God is working in your life. You may not be what you think you ought to be, but you have to know that he loves you and that he's working in your life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, just claiming him is not going to do it. You've got to meet him. And let him take you through the process. It's going to be hard sometimes. And you don't think you can make it, but you can. You're guaranteed to make it because he's in there with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This Christ, how many of you have met him? Just raise your hand. And you need to testify tonight. Have you met him? Do you know him? Raise your hand. Testify. I mean, I know you're not ashamed. If you're ashamed here on earth, you'll be ashamed in heaven. Raise your hand. You testify. We're all here in this room. He's talking to us tonight. We're testifying to him tonight. Amen. He said he's my Savior. Now, if you don't want him, that's nothing I can do about that. But I'm telling you, God is with you. God loves you. God is coming. He's coming back to get you. God's going to take you home one day. You're his children. Don't let nobody keep you from that. You may not be what other people think you ought to be, but don't let nobody change you. You keep pushing. You keep going. You don't quit. You don't stop. The time I OD'd on drugs and got messed up out on the street, guns shooting past my head and everything. I kept on pushing. I kept on pushing. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad that he was driving me as I pushed. He was pushing me. So glad that he brought me out. I can shout, man, you talking about dancing? I don't care what y'all say. Okay, what you say, when you come out of something like that, you want to dance. And I'm not talking about what I used to do, but I'm talking about dance. You want to move. You want to tell somebody. And they always say, well, you black people, y'all so emotional. Yeah, we ought to be. I'm sorry if you're not. We ought to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Talk about me as you please. Do whatever you want to do. I can dance all night. Now that song, Dance and Dance. But anyway, Lord knows. The Lord knows. Your heart. He's your Savior. Sweet young lady sitting there with the black hair there. He's your God. He loves you. Young man, my brother, he's your God. He loves you. Everybody in this room. Everybody in this room. He loves you. Big man back there. He loves you. He's your God. He died for you. Don't let nobody shame you out. You come all the way with Jesus. You hear his voice. Harden not your heart. We're at a time now God is speaking. But one day he's going to close the books up there. Nobody knows when he's going to shut down heaven. Nobody knows when the angel flies back to heaven and tells Jesus, it's finished. Those that are sealed now. When he flies back to heaven, Jesus is going to turn around. Somebody said he's going to take off his priestly robe and put on his heavenly robe. Hallelujah! His kingly robe. He's going to walk out, King Jesus, broad shoulders. He's going to walk out. All the angels are going to be bowing down and shouting and everything. He's going to walk out. He's going to throw down the censer. Bam! He's going to fill the whole temple. He's gonna walk out. He said, y'all ready? Yeah, we ready. This black folk talk now. Y'all ready? Yeah, we ready. We're gonna do this thing. Yeah, we're gonna do this thing. I know I'm making it common, but that's just the way I said. We're gonna do this thing. Are we going? Yeah, we're going. Angels with the two wings. Are we ready? We ready. Angels with the four wings. Are you ready? Flop, flop, flop. Really ready. Angels with the six wings. Flop, 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 flop. Angels with the six wings. Yeah, we ready. We getting out of here. Let's go now. They're going to form a chariot. And the chariot's going to have wheels. And the chariot's going to have wings. And the angels are the one who formed that chariot. It's going to rise up. And then it's going to go down. It's going to come down to us. Hallelujah. And the angels are going to be saying, and with those wheels saying, y'all heard me say this before. I love to say it. Holy, holy, holy. And the wings will be saying, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. And somebody on this earth will be saying, it won't be long now. It won't be long now. They're going to look up at the sky. And all the angels coming with Jesus. Going to fill the whole sky. He's not going to touch the earth. He can't come back and touch some contempt. If he touched the earth, it'll burn up. So he can't touch the earth. And he's gonna make a sound. Boom. He's gonna call those who have died in their grave to come up. It'll come up like popcorn. All over everywhere. You heard me say that before. Pop, pop, pop. All over everywhere. Oh, and when they come up in a moment. Yeah. And we call it boom. I'm out of here. Amen. No more clothes. No more sins. I'm out of here. I'm going home with him. Don't you wanna go home with him? Don't you want to be with him? Hallelujah. I want to be with him. I want to go home with him. I don't want to run when I get to heaven. I want to put, can I act a little black? I want to run. I want to lay on my head on his lap And I want to say, Jesus, boy, you've been good to me. Amen. When they start testifying, I'm going to say, I'm testifying. And he's going to say, no, no, no. Too many people to testify. He said, Lord, give us some time. We got eternity here. Let me tell my story, amen, of how I got over. We're going to sing the song, Moses. It is 8:30. It's time for me to stop. And I've been informed that there are some people here who make a decision. They're coming back to God. They want to give their lives over to him. They want to be baptized or rebaptized. If there's somebody like you, if you're here tonight, I want you to stand to your feet. Those who want to be baptized, just stand to your feet wherever you are. You here tonight? Come on, baby. All right, young man, okay? Oh, amen. 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 Does anyone else? Are there others who are coming back? You're coming back. You won't be rebaptized. Is there anyone else? Are you okay, I got you. I got you, sister. Anyone else? Tonight. Church, somebody ought to be shouting. Somebody. And the big man here. The big man. Hallelujah, man. Coming to the family, man. Hallelujah. We ought to be shouting here. We ought to have an all-night party tonight. Of course, it's a Saturday. But anyway, we're going to shout tonight. Those of you, just come down front. We're going to pray for you. That's a dedication prayer for you. Just come. Let's all give God a hand clap. Let's all stand and give God a hand clap. People come down. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's do some rejoicing here. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can everybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. This is not my order. I don't know your names. I don't know anything. It's not me to do that. It's for your pastor and your Bible workers. But I will pray for you tonight. And the prayer team, I want to thank the prayer team. I want to thank my lady upstairs. But if I can say my lady, you're upstairs. Sister, what's your name? June. Sister June. Yes, a jewel, Sister Jewel. But let us pray right now. Father, all of heaven is rejoicing. Angels, multitudes of angels are rejoicing as these individuals have took a stand in the name of Jesus Christ to go down into the watery grave of baptism, signifying that what God has done for them on the inside, they're now expressing it on the outside and giving expression to the world. They're joining up with Jesus. They're marrying him. They're coming up out of the watery grave. They're uniting with him. They've been resurrected from sin, spiritual sin. And they're now being brought to new life in Jesus Christ. It's going to be rough, but all they have to do is stay in that body. All they have to do is stay in prayer. And you will take them through because you promised that he who has begun a good work in them will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe tonight as I pray for them that you're going to save them. They may have a rough road, but you're not going to leave them, Lord. All those that come unto me, I would no wise cast out, he said. That promise is as good as the sun came up this morning. God is here. Hallelujah. God is here. Thank you for the families that are coming. Oh, that's how God saves people. He saves them with families. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your whole household will be saved, the Bible says. Come now. Thank you, Father. Sanctify these people. Something may happen over the night. Oh, the devil tries to get in the way. Let nothing stop them, Lord, from this glorious baptism tomorrow. Let the church come out and let the church say amen tomorrow. Let the church come out and rejoice tomorrow as these people, as these beautiful, lovely family and single people are coming and giving their lives to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's everybody sing this song. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's do that again. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Everybody, lift up your hands. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We are all on one accord, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you.
You've been so good.
Yeah. Let's do that. You've been so good. You've been, come on, so good. Come on, you've been so good. You've been so good. Lord, you've been so good. I just want to thank. Come on.
Hallelujah, Father in heaven. Let's everybody bow our heads in the building tonight. Everybody here tonight. Let's join with God tonight. There may be someone here tonight who's struggling with something. And I'm not asking you to be baptized. I'm asking you to give it all over to Jesus. Be baptized in His Spirit. Tonight, I want you to pray in your heart and say, Lord, take this thing from me. Say, Lord, with my mind, I want to do what's right. But with my body and my flesh, I find myself doing wrong. Tonight, Lord, come, Jesus, help me. Somebody ought to cry out and say, help me, Lord. Help me, Father. I need to be delivered. For when Jesus comes in, He gives you healing in your mind, in your body, and in your spirit. One day when He comes back to restore us, He's going to give us new mind, new bodies, and a brand new eternal spirit. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard tonight. You have spoken to my heart tonight. Thank you for these people who have given themselves to you tonight. Continue to bless them and this church. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.